If you would, go with me to the book of James for our Sunday school hour this morning. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Are we looking for a good meeting or are we looking for revival this week? I hope we get both. Oh my, I want to see the Lord do something in our hearts. America needs revival. I mean, America is a mess. Amen. But if we're going to have revival, it's going to start in a small group. It's going to start with some Christians that want revival. And then it spreads from that. That's historically the way it's always been. It never starts in a big fashion. If you really care about America, pray that God revives your heart and mine. And then maybe revival widespread will come as a result of that. James chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for the privilege of being in your house today. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our midst. I pray, Lord, you do something great this week. But God, I pray that maybe it even begin this morning. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Now I need you, Lord. I pray you touch me. Just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message this morning for the Sunday School Hour is Search Me. Search me. Now, I know the thought process is, Lord, search everybody else. They need it. but the idea is I want God to look me over. Okay, I want to see if I'm where I need to be. The first several verses here gives us some characteristics of a Christian in need of revival. Now, you might say, well, that's not me. Well, let's look at some of this stuff here. In the verse 1 there, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Well, when Christians are fighting with each other, there's a problem, all right? And, you know, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. That, you know, we ought to be able to come together and in harmony in the Lord and work together. There shouldn't be fighting among us. And then he goes on. He talks about lust. So this fighting comes from lust and that war in our members. And then in verse 2, again, lust. Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. So there are folks that have lust. Lusting after something that's not theirs, that they cannot have for whatever reason. Somebody else has something that they want. And then the fightings again, fight and war. Yet ye have not, notice, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask and amiss, that ye may consume it on your own lust. So their prayer life is not right. A Christian in need of revival is going to have a poor prayer life. They're going to have issues trying to get a hold of God and getting answers to prayer. Adulterers and adulteresses. I mean, you got adultery sometimes when you get away from the Lord. That's a pretty sure sign of a Christian in need of a revival. Verse 5 talks about lusting again. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And then he says in verse 6, God resisteth the proud. So you got pride. All of these things are evidences of a need of revival. And I would say that probably we'd find ourselves somewhere in there, or maybe akin to one of those. Maybe we wouldn't go that far and say, well, you know, I'm not this and I'm not that, but poor prayer life gets 90% of Christians. Amen. Maybe 98%. The average Christian doesn't pray like, and I got to include myself in that group. I know I don't pray like I should. You know, we find ourselves in, you know, seriously, we need a revival. Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's real easy to say, well, that sounds just like, you fill in the name. I don't know the names. Okay. Somebody sitting on the other side. Oh, I know. It's the ones that didn't come to Sunday school. They need revival. Well, I gotta agree with you. They probably do. All right. But so do we. Okay. It's real easy to think of somebody else, to pick out somebody else that is in need of revival. But look at verse 11 again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Yeah, he sure backslid. Well, they sure need revival. And you're speaking evil of somebody else. Amen. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Just see, it's not our place to judge one another. We got enough judging to do at home. I mean, we need to look at our own selves and see where we are. Instead of judging one another, instead of pointing the finger at somebody else, we need to humble ourselves. And look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Amen. We should humble ourselves rather than looking at others that need to be humbled. Okay. Stick a gospel tract in there and go with me to the Psalms for a moment. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me. And know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. I can imagine what they're thinking about right now. What about my thoughts? Search me and try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. You see, we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to see revival this week. And God, I'd like to see it happen with everybody else. But God, my heart is that I be helped. Can we be just a little bit ungodly and be selfish this morning? God, I need revival. God, I hope everybody gets one. But, oh God, don't let this week pass and me not be touched. God, I need a revival. God, I want you to work in my heart. I want, when this week's over, I want to look back and say, you know, my life's different than it was last Sunday morning. My life's, I'm changed. I'm a new person. I'm different. You remember the day you got saved? what a change, amen? New creature in Christ. Life begins to change. Well, a revival can do the same thing. I mean, it kind of gets us back to that level of excitement we had after we got saved. Search me, God. Have I slipped a little bit? Have I lost something?
God, I long for you to work in my heart. See if there's something wrong in my life. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Notice verse 22. I hear pages turn. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 26, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them, everyone, to say unto him, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Now these disciples, they loved the Lord. There was only one traitor, but they loved the Lord. But every one of them began, as soon as the Lord said that, every one of them began to look inward and search themselves. They searched themselves, and Lord, could I need revival? Is something wrong in my life? Oh, Lord, could I be getting ready to betray you? Could it be me, Lord? Lord, is it I? I mean, they actually asked the Lord. Every one of them asked the Lord, "Lord, is it I?" Now I can see that meeting today. Everybody points the finger at somebody else. "Hey, it's him, isn't it? Isn't it? I know. I was watching him when you were looking, Lord. I saw what he did. I know what's in his heart. I know." Yeah. The Lord knew what was in the hearts, but they didn't. But they all suspected that it might be them. They humbled themselves before the Lord. "Lord, is it I?" You see, their hearts were pure, but they didn't trust themselves. And back to James again. Praise the Lord, even when our hearts aren't right, God gives grace. Amen. God gives grace even when we aren't where we ought to be. Look at verse 6 again. "He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith," now notice, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." You see, the proud folks, they point their finger at somebody else. Well, certainly it's not me. They're proud. They think they're you know, appear spiritually, all right? But the humble, they look inside and they say, "God, I know I'm not what I ought to be. Lord, you talking to me? Lord, is Brother Black talking to me? Are you talking to me through Brother Black? Am I in need of a revival? God, is something not right in my life? Lord, I really thought I was doing all right, but Lord, could it be me?" That humility. He gives grace to the humble. The humble, the humble themselves before the Lord. See, we've got to lay our pride aside in order to receive the grace of the Lord. He gives grace. He giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. There's got to be a point in our lives where we say, "Okay, Lord, here's where it's at. I'm guilty, or I might be. Lord, will you search me and show me if there's something that maybe I'm overlooking?" Honestly, we might think we're exactly where we need to be, but God, will you look in areas that I may have overlooked and bring it to my attention? When we go to the doctor, sometimes the doctors want us to come by just for an annual checkup type of thing, you know. Just come by and see. Well, you go and the doctor says, "How you feel?" "Oh, I feel great. I really don't think I need this, but I'm here. You know, I'm doing just fine." But why did we come? "Search me, doctor. See if there be some illness or something going on that maybe I overlooked. I didn't realize it. I thought I was just getting old." The doctor says, "Oh my, I'm sure glad you came. You got a problem. Maybe we can deal with it because you came when you did." No, we go willingly. We say, "Doctor, search me. See if there's something maybe I'm not aware of, so we can get it right. Why is it that we get so up in arms about the Lord searching us? I want things fixed in my life. If there's a problem, I want God to bring it to my attention so I can take care of it. Amen. When the preacher steps on my toes, that's a good thing. Honestly, if a pastor can't step on my toes every now and then, he's not doing his job. Okay? Seriously, because we're all sinners. We all fail the Lord. Now, there ought to be an attaboy every now and then, okay? We shouldn't always be guilty. Certainly, we did something right, okay? But every now and then, we get our toes stepped on because things aren't the way they ought to be. So check me out, Lord, and see if I'm right. Now, we got to lay that pride aside to get the grace of God. But now look at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay, that goes along with the humility. We submit to God. All right, notice, and he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when you submit to God, you're saying, Lord, I'll obey you, whatever you want. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord, if you get a hold of my heart during the service today or some night this week during the revival, I will willingly come to an altar and I'll do business with you, Lord. Lord, if you get my attention, I will obey. I will submit myself to you in humility. I'll submit. And then we say, it says we resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. In other words, devil, I'm not going to do for you. Devil, I'm not going your way. The devil wants us to just sit back in our seat, keep that pride level nice and high. Okay. I'm not going to kneel for nobody. If there's something wrong in my life, nobody's going to know about it. That's between me and God. Well, it is. And God says, get it out in the open. Humble yourself. Deal with it. So we can move on, okay? Nope, now we're obeying the devil rather than submitting ourselves to God. We resist the devil, and the Bible says he'll flee from us. Well, one reason we have so much trouble with the devil, be honest with you, according to the Word of God here, one reason we have so much trouble with the devil is we keep him guessing. One day we're against the devil, we're going to serve the Lord. The next day, man, yeah, come on. You make a good argument there. Let's go have fun for a little while. You know what? Maybe I'll obey you today and I'll obey God tomorrow. Go in your way, devil. Maybe I can have a little more fun right now and I can always do right later on. I think I'll, we're in and out, on and off. My granddad years ago, he used to say, on again, off again, on again, mulligan. That's the way you put it. I have no idea where that came from, but he was born in 1899. He had April 1st, April Fool's Day, 1899. I loved my granddad. He was a great guy, but that was one of his sayings. On and off. You never know where you're going to be. And that's the way we are with the devil sometimes. And so he keeps pestering us because maybe he can win us over. He doesn't know where we're going to be tomorrow. And can I be honest with you? I've seen a lot of folks that he has won over. I'm talking Christian folks that serve God. But the devil got the best of them and they walked away from the Lord. Now, he didn't get their soul, I know that. Okay? But they're not serving the Lord anymore. He stole their effectiveness for God. He stole their peace. He stole their joy. And so you resist the devil and he will flee from you, the Bible says. Now look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Okay, so again, this is all along the lines of search me, God. Search me. If there's something wrong in my life, I want to deal with it. I've humbled myself. I humble myself before God. I resist the devil. I draw nigh to God. Now, some folks want to draw nigh to the devil, okay? But it says draw nigh to the Lord. We resist the devil. We draw nigh to the Lord. And then the Lord draws nigh to us. And, oh, I love, don't you just love it when you have sweet fellowship with the Lord? Isn't it something? Isn't it just amazing when you're just in harmony with God? That's a wonderful, absolutely wonderful place to be. You draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to you. Well, you say, well, Brother Black, how do I draw nigh to God? I want to be close to the Lord. How do I draw nigh to God? Well, the scripture has the answer here for us. verse 8 again. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The next sentence, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. All right, so how do I draw nigh to God? I need to cleanse my hands. Or in other words, I need to quit sinning. If I'm going to be close to the Lord, I can't have sin in my life. You know, big time unconfessed sin. I got to get my life cleaned up a little bit if I really want to have fellowship with the Lord. I need to clean my hands. Stick that gospel tract back in there again and go to the book of Romans for just a second. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, look at verse 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All right, so we're going to yield to the Lord. We're going to do our best to quit sinning and yield ourselves to God. Paul says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we're going to try our best to quit sinning, okay? And we cleanse our hands. Now, look on in the verse there. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Okay, James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Stop sinning. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, he talks about purifying our hearts. You see, the double-minded individual says, well, I'll do right today, but sinning would be more fun. I'll sin today and do right tomorrow. Double-minded. They're on and off, okay? On again, mulligan, you know? They're on and off. They're double-minded. And James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we can't get this thing settled and be consistent in our Christian living, and we're double-minded, we're for the devil one day and for God the next, we're not going to have peace, we're not going to be close to the Lord, and our hands are going to be dirty. Our hands are going to be dirty, which is going to hinder us from drawing near to the Lord because we've got dirty hands. God doesn't want to be around people with dirty hands. He wants our hands clean. He wants us to quit sinning, and then we can have that sweet fellowship. Now, the hands are the problem. The hands is the issue. Hands are dirty. How do I clean my hands? Well, my mind tells my hands to clean up, right? I mean, when you go to the sink and wash your hands literally, why do you do that? Well, they're dirty, okay? Good observation, all right? But the mind tells you to do that. The mind says, oh, yeah, they're dirty. I better go to the kitchen sink or the bathroom sink, whatever, and wash my hands. The mind controls the hands. Right? The hands just don't go on their own. The mind has to send them to the sink to get clean, okay? Now, the double-minded man is going to have a hard time keeping his hands clean because his mind says, clean your hands, and then his mind says, no. Get your hands dirty. Get clean, dirty. Live for God, live for the devil. Hands are dirty most of the time because that man is unstable. His mind can't control his hands properly because he's double-minded. All right, so the mind has got to tell the hands to clean up. The mind has got to tell the body, tell ourselves, to get clean. Okay, now what controls the mind? The mind seems to be the issue. The mind's unsteady, unstable. The mind has to control the hands. What controls the mind? Well, look on here. Look at verse 9 or verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and Oh, what's the next? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, the heart controls the mind. If the heart is right, the heart controls the mind. You see, if my heart is pure, my heart will tell my mind to tell the hands to stay out of trouble, right? Okay, it's a heart issue. If my heart is pure, my heart will have the mind doing what it needs to do, and the mind controls the rest of the body. I serve God. I serve God. It's a heart issue. If my heart says, God, I want to please you. God, I want what's right in my life. Oh, God, work in my heart. Search me this week. My heart is pure. And then when my toes get stepped on during the service, the invitation is given, and there's something drawing me, someone, the Spirit of God, drawing me to the altar. The mind says, no, no, you can pray this afternoon. But the heart says, I don't want what God wants. And so the heart tells the mind, let go, and do business with God. We come to an altar. Our hands are cleansed. Our mind is cleansed. Our heart is right. And God draws nigh to us because we have drawn nigh to Him. You say, well, how do I purify my heart, Brother Black? I understand how I purify my hands. I just quit sinning. I understand the mind issue, get my heart right, but how do I purify my heart? Well, let's read on. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Brother Black, I thought this was going to be fun. I want my heart to be pure, and you're telling me the way to a pure heart is to be afflicted and to mourn and to weep. It doesn't sound like a good time to me. Stick that gospel tract back in there and go back to the Psalms again. Look at Psalm 51. You remember David. David was a pretty good guy. David, in his pride, could have said, hey, I'm the king. Me and the Lord, you know, we're like this. Everything is great between us. But David, just like you and I, was a man. And David fell into some sin, pretty major sin. Had a man killed, committed adultery. Look at Psalm 51 and verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. You see, he knew what the problem was. The problem was his heart. His heart got away from the Lord, and the heart didn't control the mind. And so the mind allowed the hands to get dirty, and David found himself doing things that he didn't think he'd ever do. It was a heart issue, and David knew it. David knew it, and he admits that before the Lord. Hide not thy face from me, blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, he started out, we read there in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, did the Lord break David's bones literally? No. But if you've ever had a broken bone, oh my goodness, nothing hurts worse than a broken bone. I remember several years ago, I slipped and fell getting out of the back of my work truck. And I used to do some remodeling, and I had a box truck. I had a little ladder. I'd step off the back of the truck onto the bumper, and then onto one of those little 2 foot ladders. And I stepped onto the top of that ladder, and somehow or another my foot slipped, and I went down, and I broke my wrist. And it healed up. You know, it took some time. The doctor was able to reset it. Didn't need surgery. But it was 2-3 years later. I get a twinge of pain deep down in my wrist, and ooh, man, that hurt. Boy, that hurt. What happened? The Lord afflicted David. The Lord broke some bones spiritually. Afflicted him. To make him hurt, and he got right with God. Okay, again, how do I get my heart right? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Oh, wow. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So David, the Lord breaks his bones. The Lord makes him, afflicts him. Okay? He recognizes his need. He humbles himself before God. And God restores that joy and gives David peace in his heart again like he had before. All right? Again, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Now, I don't humble myself before the Lord when I'm pointing my finger at everybody else. It's not me, God. Oh, no, it's not me. I don't need revival. Well, I'm here for Sunday school. I don't need revival. That's pride. That's pride. No, I humble myself. I say, God, is it me? Lord, is it I? Is it I? Lord, I guess there is a little dirt on my hands. I'm sorry. I want to cleanse my hands. See, what he's begun to do is he's begun to afflict us a little bit. We're sitting there and we appear to be comfortable, but inside something's kind of gnawing on us. That's the Spirit of God afflicting us. It's not right. It's not right in my life. I'm not enjoying this. And we humble ourselves before God. And glory to God, he lifts us up. He lifts us back up and encourages us and helps us through that difficult time. Okay, I want to take just a second and go back here. I've already left it, but let me go back to Psalm 51 again. I'll read it for you. You don't have to find it again. But Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. That's exactly where David was. He humbles himself before God, and God lifts him up. Okay, and then he said in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He got things right, and the Lord restored his joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The Lord restores the joy. Okay, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Lord gives that joy back. See what happens in verse 8, you draw nigh to the Lord and he draws nigh to you. See, David, after the Lord afflicted him, he drew nigh to the Lord. The Lord drew nigh to David, and they went on as though nothing happened. It's in the past. David dealt with it. God blessed David. God restored the joy, and he went forward. You see, the key to revival is, Lord, search me, and then be willing. when he does search us, okay, when he does afflict us, when he does bring it to our attention, we're willing to humble ourselves before God, admit something's not right, come to an altar, and do business with God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Is my heart right? Are my hands clean? Am I double-minded, Lord? Lord, speak to my heart this week. Lord, speak to my heart. Bring revival. Lord, if necessary, afflict me. If that's what it takes. But above all, Lord, please draw me nearer to you, Lord. Work in my heart. Please, Lord, send revival in my life. Father, I pray that you bless the remainder of the day. We love you, Lord. Please do a work in our hearts this week. In Christ's name we pray. Pastor.